We welcome you into the Gardener's Corner program, a Friday feature here on WKRX 96.7 FM and 1430 AM. We're brought to you today on the Gardener's Corner program by T.G. Brooks Company, in business since 1936. They're located 411 Helena Mariah Road in beautiful Timberlake. We're also brought to you today by Our Pride Foods, makers of Our Pride premium pimento cheese spread and dip, available at many different locations, and you can even stop in at Our Pride Foods and purchase it from there. They're located right down here on North Main Street, beside of North Main IGA. Hey, and I want to make mention of something, a yard sale. One of the guys that helps us out when we're in a pinch here at the radio station, always willing to help out, filling in, making sure that air shifts are covered, Mr. Robin Perkins. Robin is having a yard sale at his mother's place, 88 Cavell Chubb Lake Road. So if you're out and about, stop by 88 Cavell Chubb Lake Road and see Robin Perkins, and let him know that we squoze him in a free plug on the Gardener's Corner today. Want to make welcome all the way from Granville County, North Carolina. He's a man of many talents, whether it's being a cattleman, a beekeeper, a horticultural agent extraordinaire, and several other things we hadn't really got time to get into right now. If you would please make welcome Mr. Johnny Coley. Good morning, Johnny.
Oh, Rob, I was afraid. Good morning, everyone. I was afraid somebody else was supposed to be on the show today. I thought we maybe had a guest speaker joining us.
You're the man. You're the one. Yes, sir, you are. And
you mentioned cattlemen. Gary Cross, a lot of people might remember Gary Cross, the ag agent that was here for 5 or 6 years, I guess, in person in Granville County. He always told me I need to get a cowboy hat to wear. He always have a big 4-inch brim hat that I wear when I go out in the sun. And he said, I need to get a cowboy hat. And I said, Gary, I'm not a cowboy. I can't get a cowboy hat. he was always after me, get a different hat.
Well, anyway, you and LaVon own cattle, and you also are a beekeeper. So you're into a lot of different things, and we're just glad that you was able to fit us into your busy schedule, because you've always got something going on, as you are the horticultural agent for Person in Granville Counties of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. And Johnny, I know you stay busy all the time, but here it is. Starting up next month, you're going to be having the Master Gardeners training course. Is that the best way to word it, the way that I did, or not?
Yes, sir. Master Gardener training. We'll start that up. August 11th will be our first day of having that training. And looking forward to that. Still have openings in that for that training. So if anyone is interested in participating in that, it starts, as we said, August 11th, which is a Thursday. And it will be every Thursday from then until about the 1st of December. So it is a time commitment. A lot of people, you know, have a hard time carving in that time, but it's a 3-hour class every Thursday. This year we're going to hold it at the Berea Volunteer Fire Department right on 158 in downtown Berea. So if you're familiar with 158, you're probably familiar with Berea. It's the road that goes between Oxford and Roxborough. So, you know, come join us if you're wanting to know. And the Master Gardener program, Rob, is designed to train volunteers for the Cooperative Extension. So it's about a 40-hour training that we do, and usually I'll do it about every other year. And then after that training, the following year, you do some volunteer work and get some educational hours, and you become a certified master gardener in North Carolina through the NC State University. So it's a it's a good training. We've got a lot of good speakers lined up. You don't have to come and listen to me every week. We've got other speakers lined up to do that. Paul McKenzie, the horticulture agent for Vance in Warren County, and myself are actually teaming up this year to do it together. So he'll do some of the classes. I will do some of them, but we also have some specialists coming in from the university that will be doing some, and also other agents from around the state that are coming in to do some. So it's a very wide range of topics that we'll be talking about, insects, diseases for plants, some landscaping, as far as design aspect of the landscape, the different types of gardening that you can do, talk about soils. We've got Dr. Havlin from NC State University coming in to talk about soils. And if you've never heard Dr. Havlin speak, you need to hear him speak about soils. He's very passionate about the soils and the soil types and all there is to know about soils. So he is he's coming to speak to us 1 week. As I said, insects. We've got a guest speaker coming in and talk about insects and a little bit. You have to know a little bit about botany when you get into it. So we're gonna cover botany. So you'll know some of the basic terminology mainly. So it's a lot of different topics that we cover. We try to have a good time as well as learning a lot about different plants. We try to throw in some ID, some plant ID in there as well. So and we'll do at least one field trip, maybe a couple, but we'll at least try to get one field trip in this fall. So the class, as I said, it starts August 11th. It'll be every Thursday from 9 to 12 through about the 1st of December. And it is a $150 cost, but that does include the textbook for the class. So, if you're interested, please contact me. I've got an application for you to fill out. I'll be glad to send you that application either by mail or email, and we'll get you signed up for the class. But looking forward to it. It's always an exciting time to get a new training started and get some new master gardeners. We've got, I think over the last two trainings, I've had 23 in the class, and we've got a good active master gardener group now in the Granville-Person County area. So we try to stay active and give you opportunities to get your volunteer hours in. But it's a fun time, and it's always something to learn about horticulture. I mean, horticulture is such a big field. We do talk about wildlife management as well, so wildlife management and native plants, that's part of the training too. So we, like I said, it's just so many things that we talk about during the training, and then that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as, starting your horticulture learning experience. And we look forward to getting that started, and hopefully we'll have plenty of people to want to take the training this year. But again, if you're interested in the training, want me to send you an application, just contact me by email at johnny_coley@ncsu.edu. That's Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y, _Coley, C-O-L-E-Y, @ncsu.edu, or you can call either of the offices, Person County's 336-599-1195, or the Granville County office at 919-603-1350. So just get in touch with me, and we'll get this training started in about a month now. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, be here before you know it. And it's a $150 fee, but as Johnny said, It's about a 40-hour course. And, Johnny, the printed material that they will receive during the course, you know, that is a big benefit. So when you figure up the benefits versus the cost, that $150 fee is very minimal, to say the least. Johnny, the old question you ask and you will receive. Well, believe it or not, Conrad Kimbrough just came in and gave me a note saying that he has a Stetson cowboy hat that he wants to give you, and that way you can become an official cowboy hat wearing person.
Well, I told Gary this when he told me. He said, "I said you can go ask any of my cows, and they will tell you straight up that I am not a cowboy." they will say, "No, I don't know what he is, but he's not a cowboy."
There you go. Well, now, Johnny,
thank you, Conrad. I appreciate.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Can't wait to see you wearing it. Now, Johnny, here it is. You know, hot summertime, and we've been having a few pop-up showers. Some is, you know, giving certain areas a decent amount of rain. Some areas hasn't had enough rain to settle the dust. But it is a such thing as overwatering, correct?
You can, Rob, and it's hard to believe as hot and dry as it is that you have to be concerned about overwatering your plants. And because a lot of times, especially if it's not 90 or above, especially the temperatures we've had this week, you know, mid-90s, heat index up, you know, above 100, 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe even 2 o'clock, your plants may look wilted. They may look, you know, like they need water. But you still want to check that before you just go out there with a water hose and water the plants, because sometimes they just can't keep up with the transpiration of water. You know, they're losing more water than they can have the ability to take up. So that'll give them that wilted look, even though they may have the moisture there. So just check, just be diligent in checking, and you know, if you see a plant that's wilting, and it may not necessarily need water right at that time, and it doesn't hurt the plant to stress a little bit from water. It's better for it to stress from underwater than it is from overwatering. Now, if you get up in the morning and they're wilting, you know, first thing at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, they're most likely dry because at that point the sun hasn't been on them. They're not. They haven't started that transpiration process. They should be able to keep up with it anyway at that time of day. So if it's wilting early in the morning, that's a good time to water anyway. Try not to get any water on the leaves, Rob, because that's just a recipe for the fungus to start growing. So you don't really want to get any water on the leaves at any time, whether it's morning or evening, especially in the evening going into the night. But, once the sun gets off the plant, you know, later in the evening, if it's still wilted, it might need some watering. But just be careful watering in the middle of the day. If the plant's wilted, doesn't necessarily mean that it's dry. I mean, you can dig down in the soil and find out for sure. But, it's just, you can overwater, and even in containers, if you're not careful, plants will, again, they'll just sort of wilt. They look like they need water. Hydrangeas are notorious for this, especially if they're in a little bit more sun than they would like. They'll wilt on you a little bit, but it's not a water issue. It's just that those big leaves, and it's a lot of times the big leaf plant that can't keep up because they're transpiring. They're just getting rid of so much water that they can't keep up with the uptake of the water. So just be careful with the watering. And again, don't water the foliage. You know, the roots are what needs the water. So if you get it right down on the roots rather than getting the foliage wet, you can cut down on your chances of getting disease, foliar diseases. especially.
Well, you know, Johnny, just a few days ago, a lady was talking about her squash plants. She plants in a raised bed, and she was saying that her squash plants in the morning are really looking good, but she said later on in the day, they just don't, you know, they look like they're flopped and things like that. And so I'm sure what you just described is what's happening, you know, to her squash plants, because they do have big leaves on them. But when she was talking, I got to thinking about, you know, the squash bug, squash vine borer, and that is something that can really wreak havoc on your squash plants very fast, and the damage that they do is permanent.
Yeah, it is. And those two for the squash plant, those two insects are your two top ones, and they're very difficult. The squash borer, unfortunately, when it gets into the plant, there's not a whole lot you can do. You know, just trying to keep it from occurring. I've had people say that, you know, they wrap something around the base of the plant, like aluminum foil or something, to keep the squash borer from being able to bore into the plant. You know, if you've got 50 squash plants, that's not very practical to be able to do. You know, just keeping insecticides around the base of the plant, so when the eggs hatch from the moth that actually lays the egg for the squash borer, when that egg hatches, that insecticide is there. The squash bug, you know, you have the eggs that you find on the back side of the leaf. You know, you can try to scrape those off, but, you know, again, if you have a lot of them, it's hard to keep up with. The main thing with the squash bug is trying to control them at the nymph stage, or the pre-adult stage. That's when they're more susceptible to insecticides than once they get to be an adult. Once they're an adult, it is difficult to control them. Again, they usually congregate right at the base of the plant, right around the bottom, close to the soil, and up a little bit. They, you know, they congregate there. So, you know, making sure that you get the insecticides right in there. And a lot of times the insecticides for the squash bugs are, you know, contact. So you have to actually make contact with them. There's several. The neem oil is good for the squash bug. On the organic side, for the more conventional side, bifenthrin, cypermethrin, and malathione are good. The main thing with any insecticide that you put on any of your vegetable plants is to make sure that it has a vegetable label. You want to make sure that label has vegetables on it, because there are some labels out there, I know, especially for bifenthrin, that there are lots of different brand names for bifenthrin, but you want to make sure on that label that it's labeled for vegetables, because some of those labels for bifenthrin may not have a vegetable label. So just be careful about that when you're applying any pesticide, whether it's a herbicide or insecticide or fungicide, whatever it is. Make sure that the label is labeled for what you're spraying on, what the plant is you're spraying it on, and make sure that it's labeled for the actual disease, insect, weed that you're trying to kill as well. So just be careful on that end. But they, you know, unfortunately, there's no silver bullet for the squash borer or the squash bug. It's just diligence. And you know, I was reading something recently that said you put a piece of cardboard under the squash, and a lot of times the squash bug will congregate on that cardboard, and you pull the cardboard out and just step on them. That's a way to control them. So, it takes probably several different methods in order to get them to control them. So, you know, cultural and on the chemical end to make sure. But sort of brings to another topic, Rob, and that's scouting.
Right, yeah.
Nobody wants to get out there and scout when it's as hot and humid as it has been this week. But you need to stay diligent on your scouting. You let up a few days, and, you know, you went out there Monday of this week, and you didn't really see anything, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start ballooning out. They can get a lot of insects out there all of a sudden, because it doesn't seem, I don't know why, but the temperature doesn't seem to bother them. They just keep on producing and keep on multiplying. So you need to stay diligent, and spraying in the middle of the day is not the best time. You want to spray, especially for pollinators' sake, spray late evening is your best time to spray or apply any type of pesticide onto your plants, so you'll get away from the pollinators. And really, for the squash bug, you know, you're really getting down at the base of the plant, so try not to get it on the flowers where the pollinators will be hanging out anyway. But it's just diligence. You just have to keep being diligent on that aspect.
Well, now, Johnny, you know, as you've talked about many, many times, you know, being out there scattering around, you know, trying to be on top of a problem before it really becomes a problem is one of the main keys. And you said this many, many times, that in the perfect world, you plant it and then you go back and harvest it. But it's a lot of trips that have to be made to the garden between planting and harvest.
It is. Yeah. It's we've had a pretty good growing season this year overall. It's been a fairly decent one. This past week, I guess, has really cranked the heat up and the humidity. You know, the humidity starts those fungal diseases really begin to pop up, especially if the plants are stressed. So keeping your plant healthy, which means fertilizing and watered properly, that helps reduce the effect that the insects will have. You may still have some insects, but the plant can grow through it if you have a healthy plant. I guess the squash borer is your equalizer on that one, because that squash borer, you know, the plant can be beautiful one day and it just flops to the ground the next day.
Well, now, Johnny, here it is, July 8th. Is it still time to plant some warm season vegetables, or is that window done closed, so to speak?
Rob, you could still probably get cucumbers and squash. They're pretty fast turnaround. It's a little late for tomatoes. If you plant tomatoes at this point, you're going to be having to give them some frost protection or picking some green tomatoes. It's all getting a little bit late for tomatoes. Of course, corn it would be too late for. But, you know, the summer squash and the cucumbers, you know, they're pretty quick turnarounds, so you could still do that at this point. But believe it or not, Rob, it's coming up time, almost time to start. You're going to grow them from seed, start planting your fall crop. It'll be time to start your fall vegetables here pretty soon, from seed especially, by the 1st of August. Probably the end of July, you want to start the seeds and have them ready to get in the ground by, you know, the 3rd or 4th week of August, try to get them in the ground and have them ready. So it's hard to think about that, but it's that time. So, you could still do some summer crops, some of your longer crops, like I said, watermelon, pumpkins, unless it's a smaller variety of pumpkin, you might have some 60-day pumpkins or something, but most of the time pumpkins, you're looking at 120-day. That's just going to put you too far out at this point. But there's still some plants you could still put in the ground. And, on the ornamental side, side, a lot of people have their the perennials doing great now, and annuals too. If you plant your annuals, they're beautiful in bloom. And a lot of people will deadhead or cut the old flowers off their perennials as they start to fade. They'll cut the old flowers off. But just wanted to put a plug in for our feather friends. Technical difficulties here on this thing. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Our feathered friends, if you leave some of those seed heads up and let them eat some of them, some of the, especially goldfinches. Goldfinches love zinnias. And sometimes they don't wait for them to turn totally to see. They'll start plucking out the little petals out of the zinnias before they fully lose their color. So, but the rebeckias and the echinaceas, if you leave those seed heads up there and let them dry for the birds, that's always good food for them. So, deadhead some. If you wanted to deadhead some, dress them up a little bit, but don't cut them all off and allow those the birds to eat some of them as well.
Well, now, Johnny, with all this being said, it's the time of the year that harvest, vegetables coming in, and just be mindful of when you're out working in the garden. Just you can kind of do your scouting while you're gathering the vegetables. But one thing that is extremely important, that when harvesting your vegetables, you need to keep in mind that they have field heat in them, and it's not good to put them in a 5-gallon plastic bucket and leave them in there a while, because they will continue to stay hot. So you need to go ahead and have a way to cool them down, or maybe go ahead and start preserving them, whether you're going to freeze them, can them, or do whatever it may be. But getting the field heat out of the fruits and vegetables is very important about keeping them fresh, correct?
It is, Rob. It's a very good point. If you do harvest them in a 5-gallon bucket, a plastic, 5-gallon bucket, it's okay to use them for harvesting. But when you get them back to the house or back somewhere, try to spread them out so they're not just collecting that heat down there, because they put off a lot of heat. A lot of times commercial growers are trying to, as soon as they harvest it, they have coolers they can put them in to take that field heat out, and that helps quite a bit. Corn in particular, sweet corn, as soon as it leaves the stalk, as soon as you take it off, it starts to lose some of its value, and all of them will. So if you can get them somewhere cool and get that field heat out, you keep the flavor, the taste, and they're just a lot better overall if you can do that. So whether it's a squash or tomato, corn, blueberries are coming in now. We talked about them a little bit before we got on the air, and then, blueberry season. But you don't, oftentimes I will harvest blueberries in a container that's, 6-8 inches deep. But soon after picking them, you want to get them where they're not, really just one layer would be good. But if they're, a couple of layers thick, at least they get some of that field heat out, because they'll go backwards on you quick if you leave them in a container without any airflow or, just not getting that field heat out of there. So just, things to keep in mind when you are harvesting. Don't fill the 5-gallon bucket up with cucumbers and just leave it, try to spread them out. A lot of people are going to do that anyway, but just a reminder, I guess.
Well, and I think sometimes you don't realize it, but once you gather them out of the garden, if you can, you know, spread them out somewhere. And if you can, you know, have a shady area, you know, to where you can do this, or maybe you may have a garage or something with a ceiling fan. If you can run a little bit of air on them, you know, that helps preserve them a little bit longer. Now, Johnny, with it being hot and dry, it soon will be time that people will want to start fertilizing and maybe reseeding their cool season grasses. But before you get into that, if people has Bermuda grasses planted in their lawn, is it the time to fertilize Bermuda grasses?
You can still fertilize your warm season grasses. You're not going to do them, you know, depending on the grass, you're probably doing about a half pound of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet. Usually, if you did a soil test earlier in the season, and you would apply whatever that soil test result was early on, you know, when they first start greening up, you'd apply whatever the soil test would recommend, and then the fertilization after that, you would want to do the just nitrogen at about a half a pound per 1,000 square feet. So that first initial fertilization would meet the requirements of your soil sample. And then, you know, now lime can be applied at any time of year. It doesn't matter. Lime is not going to affect the growth or any, well, it does affect the growth, but it does it by changing the acidity or alkalinity in the soil. So the, you don't have to worry about when you put the lime out. You can do that any time, but the fertilizer, you know, going by the soil test, and then warm seasons, you can put some out. In cool seasons right now, you don't really want to push your warm season, I mean, your cool seasons now. And you, Robert, just thinking as I'm talking, and it depends on the stress level of your warm seasons as well. You don't want to push plants right now if they're dry. You don't want to put any fertilizer out. And if you've got irrigation on your warm season grasses, you know, can keep them plenty hydrated, then you're okay. But you don't want to apply, get a plant to try to grow or put fertilizer out there if it's dry and not getting any rain. So you do need to be careful. That's a little caveat there as far as fertilizing warm seasons. Now, cool seasons, you know, fescues are really suffering. Most all of fescues. Now, you know, I have heard reports all over the place of good rains this week. So, in Southern Gravel County, we're not doing right, but we're not doing something right because we haven't got the rain some other areas have gotten. So some areas might be hydrated enough that they can do that. But the, you know, warm seasons usually. I mean, the cool season, I'm sorry. Cool seasons, usually you're going to do it September into Thanksgiving and middle of February. But the warm seasons can be, of course, when they're growing in the summertime, can be done more this time of year if the water levels allow that. So.
Well, now, Johnny, you mentioned blueberries. That's actually one of your favorite fruits, correct?
It is. I like blueberry plants in general, Rob. I've mentioned this several times. And they're beautiful in the fall. They have a great fall color. So they're really an ornamental plant, in the fall. And in the spring when they're blooming, you know, they're pretty. And then they have blueberries, in the summertime. And, you know, there are people out there that don't like blueberries. And you know, I understand everybody each his own, but the blueberries, you know, are for the birds. If you don't like them, you know, the birds will help you eat them. So they're a nice ornamental plant, but they are, I don't know if they're close to peak now. Probably in the next week or so, we'll be sort of heading down toward the peak. But certain varieties, blueberries, lots of different varieties. You always want to plant rabbit eye in this area. Rabbit eye varieties are going to do the best. So you have lots of different varieties of rabbit eye type of blueberries, and some of them will come in earlier than others. So you know, you do have some of your mid to late season varieties still producing very well. I know ours at the house have done well this year. They could have stood a little bit more water than they got probably, but they've done better than last year. Frost got them last year, so.
Well, you know, Johnny, the thing about, you know, the blueberry is they are very good for you, and as you say, it's a beautiful plant, and they produce a wonderful fruit. And blackberries, they're coming in, and so it's that time of the year to kind of to more or less enjoy the harvest season, although it can be quite overwhelming with everything coming in at one time. And as we've talked about many times, you don't have to plant a great deal of different vegetables, you know, to have enough to eat on and then maybe some to preserve for later. But a lot of times when you just have so much garden planted, you're just overwhelmed and some of it just kind of falls to the wayside, so to speak, and it goes to the bad. So kind of, you know, be thinking about what you planted this year and how the harvest goes. And so when you go into next year, you say, well, I don't think I'm going to plant as many squash this year as I did last year. And the reason, Johnny, you can take four or five squash plants, and if you take care of them and if they produce well, that's a lot of squash.
It is, especially at one time. They do come
yeah.
in at one time. And how you can do that, Rob, and you've mentioned this before, you know, you plant some, plant three or four heels, and then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, plant three or four more heels. And that way you stagger your crop and you start staggering your harvest a little bit as you go along. So you don't have, you know, you plant 20 all at one time and you have a lot of squash. And even if you're canning or doing something, you want that. You want to have quite a few. But if you're just doing it for fresh eating, you know, start, you don't want to put, You don't want to.
Well,
I don't know. I've never had squash on my cereal, but
you know,
I haven't eaten squash on everything. So you have to be.
Let's see. You can have squash on the grill, fried squash with onions. People make squash casseroles. I've had that. That's good. I've had squash pickle before, and you know, people talk about zucchini bread. You know, and nothing wrong with the zucchini. I wonder, could you make squash bread? I guess you could give it a try, but it's a lot of different ways to prepare, you know, vegetables out of the garden. You know, cucumbers, you can eat them fresh, or you can take that cucumber and slice it up and maybe put a few onions and put a little bit of vinegar and dilute the vinegar a little bit with water. You know, that's a nice refreshing vegetable to have with a meal, or you can make cucumbers. I saw someone the other day on social media, they made themselves a cucumber sandwich, and they actually, the sandwich part, the bread was actually a waffle. And I've had a cucumber sandwich before. I like it, you know, and so whether it's in a tossed salad or just got a little bit of salt sprinkled on it, I enjoy cucumbers. I sure do. And
yeah, and I think there's a cucumber soup, and I'm getting into Jennifer's territory a little bit, but I think there's a cucumber soup that's it's like a cool soup. It's not hot. But it's a summertime soup that has cucumber as the main ingredient. So, yeah, there's lots of ways to eat. You just have to get creative on how you fix your vegetables.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of people like to grill them.
Look, we need to take out a little bit of time and get a word on for T.G. Brooks Company and Our Pride Foods. We'll be back with more Gardener's Corner after these messages.
We have had a good season for growing this year, and now we are reaping the harvest. T.G. Brooks Company is happy so many customers shopped for garden, flowers, and vegetables at their store. During these warm months ahead, be sure to keep everything green, and they can handle your watering needs, too. Hose, sprinklers, sprayers, and water hose parts. They have your insecticides and fungicide chemicals for grass protection and bug protection for home pest control. They have mulch by the scoop or by the bag. They will load up your truck, your trailer, and they have the bagged ones. They'll load those up in your car or your van for you, and off you go. Need tools? They have them for the homeowner and the commercial landscaper. Everybody gets treated with the same courtesy. They can set up delivery of what you need. If you need tools to work in the yard, they have hoes, diggers, choppers, and these will make work easier. We should mention fall lawn seeding. It will be time before you know it. Get advice from T.G. Brooks Company on your seeding. Always remember they have Bartlett Animal Feed, dog kennels, and famous Pride dog food. Inside the store, Lodge cookware and Case pocket knives. They can arrange what you need at T.G. Brooks Company to help you with your lawn, your garden, and inside the house, too. Make your way over to 411 Helena Mariah Road in Timberlake. Phone them at 364-2428. As always, T.G. Brooks Company has proudly served the homeowner, the farmer, and those in construction since way back in 1936. They welcome folks from all over Person County, Rougemont, Northern Durham, and, of course, Southern Person County.
Our Pride Foods, makers of Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, is made in Roxboro. Pick up some the next time you're shopping at Hurdle Mills Market and Butcher Shop, North Main IGA, Supply Line Discounts in South Boston, Virginia, Food Lion, or Kenyon's Meat Market in Mebane. You can enjoy Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip at Rock City Grill, Cole's Pharmacy, Trish's Espresso, and Clarksville Station. Our Pride Foods, makers of Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip, remind you that goodness grows in North Carolina. Try the jalapeno added for extra flavor. That's Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip. And you know the nice thing about Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip? This time of the year when it's hot and you may not be very hungry, but you want something that's kind of a little bit, you know, on the cool side, you can get you some saltine crackers and some of that Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip and have a nice little snack. Or maybe if you grill up some hamburgers, have some of the Our Pride Premium Pimento Cheese Spread and Dip on that burger. You can't go wrong. So make sure that you keep some in your refrigerator at any given time, whether it's a snack or a meal, you can't go wrong. Our guest today is Johnny Coley. Johnny is the horticultural agent for Person and Granville Counties of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Let's see, Johnny, we've talked about the Master Gardeners, of course. That's going to be coming up starting in August. August 12th is about a 40-hour course that's going to last several months. If you're interested in signing up for it, you can call either the Person or Granville County office. The Granville County office, 919-603-1350. The Person County office, 336-599-1195. It's a cost of $150, but that is a small price to pay for the information and education you would get out of taking that class. We talked a little bit about the squash bugs, you know, scouting, you know, the garden just to, you know, try to get ahead of any issues that may be in the garden before they get too big to where they're not manageable. Talked about watering. And again, as Johnny says, and I don't know what it is, kind of when you got that water hose in your hand and you've got that sprinkler running on the garden and you just see it getting all of the leaves and foliage wet on the plant, it just kind of is a relaxing feeling, so to speak. But you're not really doing the plant any good by getting the plant wet. Where you really need to get the water is to the root system. So a lot of times when you can, a soak a hose would work very well. And I know a lot of older people, they would save like their milk jugs, Johnny, and they would take and put just a little small pinhole in the milk jug, and then they would fill the milk jug up with water and just set it right there beside of the plant to where the water would just drain out of the jug real slow to where it would make sure that all the water would kind of sink in, you know, and get to the roots. But that's what you really need to do is get the water to the roots, correct?
That is. That's a good way to do it. Yep, save your old plastic milk jugs or save your milk jugs or whatever, juice or whatever. Everything's in plastic now, it seems like. So, you know, you can just drill a little small hole and it comes out real slow and waters it. And you can gauge how much water you're putting on your plants by that, too, especially if it's a gallon container. You know how much you're putting on them. So, That's a great way to do it.
Now, Johnny, we've got about 2 minutes before we have to wrap up the program. Anything new that you want to make mention of? Any pesticide classes? Is there anything coming up?
Don't have any pesticide classes scheduled right now, Rob. The private applicators will have some more classes starting probably end of August, first of September. Make sure they get their credits by the end of September. Private applicators need to have all their recertification hours in by the end of September. So just make sure you've got that done. But we'll have some classes, you know, first of September, end of August, sometime in there. As far as pruning goes, you know, right now is not the time you're going to just try to go out and prune a lot of different things. You just want to think before you go out and do much pruning. Right now, a lot of the plants that bloom in early spring, the forsythia, some of the spirea, the azaleas, you don't want to prune them now because a lot of them may have set buds, set blooms for next year. So getting a little late for doing a whole lot of pruning, sort of in between seasons, if you will, on the pruning aspect. We mentioned lawns earlier, and the soil samples are free now. So go ahead and get those soil samples in for your fall lawns so you'll be prepared. You know, get them in now and then should have them back within a couple of weeks. So you'll have a good, get a good plan together for starting the fertilization. If you need to add any lime, just go ahead and get those soil samples in now. That's about everything I had on the list to talk about today, Rob. I do hope everyone will stay cool and don't get too hot. Try to get all your gardening done early in the morning or late in the afternoon. Of course, it don't cool off much in the afternoon. Now it's almost 9 o'clock. It's still hot.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Looking
at almost get it done in the morning.
Looking at the weather report, high tomorrow Saturday about 85. Sunday, a high of 79, and looking at Monday, 83, and Tuesday back up to 89. So it looks like we may have a couple of days to where it's not quite as hot as it has been the last few days. So a few days of reprieve will not only be nice for the plants and gardens, but for us humans as well.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah, when it stays, when it doesn't get below 70 at night, Rob, that's really tough on the plants. The plants really do suffer if it doesn't. If it stays above 70 degrees, you know, it does really stress the plants out. So it would be good to have a little bit of a break to get some of those lows back in the mid 60s. That'll help us and the plants.
Well, Johnny, I want to tell you thank you for sharing your information, and we appreciate the job that you do and all the other extension agents. Whenever y'all's services are needed, y'all are always willing to lend the knowledge, and we just want to say we're very fortunate that we have the North Carolina Extension Service, because you know what, a lot of problems that may arise with different things, if it wasn't for the extension service, those problems could be a lot bigger than they really are. But again, thank you and all of the other agents, and we appreciate the support of TG Brooks Company and also Owl Pride Food. Johnny, before I let you go, I got to ask you this question.
All right.
Okay. All righty. Here we go. Are you ready? In the name, TG Brooks, can you tell me what TG stands for?
TG. Can you give me a hint? Is it a precious metal? Is one of them a precious metal?
Absolutely, that I have none of.
That would be Thomas Gold, then.
Good job. Well, we're going to give you a 100 plus with a big old smiley face for the show today, because you've done a good job and appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Rob, we appreciate everything the radio station does for us, allowing us to get the information out that we do have. So a great partnership with the radio station. We really do appreciate it, and appreciate you you hosting this this program as well. So really do appreciate everything y'all do.
And we certainly appreciate all of our listeners, and want to wish everybody a happy and safe weekend, and we look forward to having you back with us again next week on the Gardener's Corner program.
This is your community station, WKRX, WRXO, Spectrum Cable, Channel 191.